Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Episode 48. I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me today, as always,
is Pat.
I'm Cat and Hat.
Yay.
And Andy's here helping us out, too. Hi.
She doesn't like
She doesn't have a voice.
It makes arguments really easy to win.
All right. Well, today we are going to talk about E3 and give news on only J.J. Abrams, because apparently that's the only person that exists. But first, we are going to do our top of the stack. So, Kat, what do you have for us?
So, for me, I've got Spider-Man Life Story number 4, the 90s. Honestly, this is a really, really good series. If you haven't read it, I would read it, because, I mean, honestly, Spider-Man's aging, and that makes it interesting. Like, one of the quotes in the books is, the doctor said I should only be catching cars as he catches a bus. So, I don't know, I find it really good. I find it extremely interesting. I can't wait to finish it, honestly. When it comes out to trade, I would highly suggest reading it. It's really good.
So,
interesting.
90 Spider-Man, though. Do we have any clones? Are there any? is there cloning?
There is cloning.
All right.
I lived through that stuff.
There is cloning. It actually shows up in the 80s one.
Oh, okay.
So
I haven't read any of these, to be totally honest. And, like, I keep hearing, like, the decade. Like, Everyone's a decade. Like, is it him actually in each decade?
It's Peter Parker in each decade. So the first one is the 60s, and then you get to the 70s. And then you get to the 80s.
And he's aging in real time.
Okay, yeah, I think he's like 50 or 60 now. I can't remember what.
Because he was 18, essentially,
yeah,
in the first
I'm pretty
book.
Sure he was 18 to, he was either from 18 to 22 in the first one, and then 10 years later, and then 10 years later. So I think right now he's...
So he has to be like 48.
40, yeah, he's 40, 40s, 50s.
Okay.
So I think next one... is obviously he'll be like in his 60s. It's really interesting to watch a superhero age. It's weird.
Yeah.
Especially with him, because you never see him past like a certain point.
Yeah, because he's always a kind of younger
Spider-Man. And
he's younger, more powerful.
Well, this Peter Parker is actually like successful business-wise too, which is also odd to see.
Well, so he didn't come up with a spider-themed restaurant?
He did not. Unfortunately, that did not work out, apparently.
I mean, wasn't the 90s, though, when he was the successful businessman in comics?
No,
he
that
Parker
was
our industries for
that
a
was
while.
2010-ish.
Yeah, oh, yeah really? That wasn't okay. even technically him, right? That was Doc Ock, wasn't it?
Spit it out, man.
There was a lot of things that happened, but yeah, Doc Ock was part of that.
Mm-hmm. So I honestly, like I said, when it comes out in trade, or if you can hunt down all the issues, I would read them. They're really good. They did this with Superman, I'd do the same thing. I'd be like, take my money. Just take it.
Well, that would be really... Okay, we've talked. Anyway.
Cool.
Next.
Pat, what was your top of the stack?
Let's see. This week, my top of the stack was Little Bird Chapter 4, written by Darcy Van Poelgeest, with art by Ian Bertram. So this book just continues to be amazing, except for the eyes in it, which just freak me out continuously.
Like the actual eyes or the letters?
No, the way Ian Bertram actually draws eyes, and which is like terrible because there's a real focus on it in the whole comic.
I feel like I'm gonna have a nightmare about that now. Thanks.
Yeah. This panel in particular.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no!
Kat likes that a lot. So.
So, funny enough, my top of the stack was Little Bird Chapter 4.
What?
So, yeah, there are some freaky eyes in this book.
Uh-huh.
This issue particularly made me sad. And I think it was just seeing...
Is it the whole thing that makes you sad, or what? Because that thing's just creepy.
Little Bird herself makes me sad in this one, because she's been captured and really sort of beaten down. She's such a powerful character that it was just sad to see her kind of, like, cyclically fail. And it was just, like, that was a lot for me.
Yeah, this book has, like, a weird relationship with its titular character.
Yeah.
Because, like... she's been killed in almost every issue so far, and like you think just when she's gonna like help lead the resistance to fight off the evil encroaching new Vatican
government
people, new thing. Government people, then she just gets burned at the stake again. Spoilers alert.
Yeah, I also think from a like designer's standpoint, like the way that Little Bird looks in the first two issues with the large hair and like she's almost this silhouette of like a bullet, like it's constantly attacking. Yeah. And they've completely they've pulled everything away from her. They shave her head and before burning her.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's heartbreaking and the story is so much about building family and this character that who looks incredibly fragile and everybody says is fragile, her brother. But when he takes his mask off, he's fine.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what's up with him. It seems like he has some sort of maybe like disease or something like that.
Well,
because he gives a quick backstory too and says he kind of was like terrible at everything he's ever done anyway. Right. So
isn't that just like a human affliction?
Right. Well, and that could very well be the case. Is that
can we talk about this sequence though right here real quick? Speaking of the brother. When he's standing in front of what looks like a window, and then Little Bird pulls it back, and it's like this weird, I don't even know what that is. It's like a,
like an isolation.
Oh, wait, chamber. Sorry, no, I'm totally reading that incorrectly. He is looking out the window, and that's curtains.
Yeah.
I thought that, never mind. Okay.
This book is really, like, odd and deep and sad and action-packed and violent. And,
Yeah,
Little Bird's amazing, and it's not really going to be collected into trade form.
Oh, is it not?
Yeah, they've come out and said that when they do put out a collection, it will cost more than all of the individuals would if you had bought the individual issues together.
Interesting.
And it's probably closer to a year out. Like, this is a book that he says the creators want the book to be purchased as individual issues.
Are they gonna do second printings?
Yep, they have second printings with alternate covers for everything too.
Look at that.
I mean, geez, like this book is definitely worth the individual issues though, because the average comic is what, like 20-25 pages long, and each one of these issues is just
40-ish.
40. The last one was 80.
Yeah, the last one was like a graphic novel unto itself.
Yeah,
and it was incredible.
So. And it was all good. And then, of course, the giant scene where everyone's getting crucified into a giant crucifix.
Yeah, very Evangelion.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Sad, but good. Sad, but very good.
Yes. Ian Bertram, though, definitely, like, oh, man.
Yeah. Cool. So we got some news. So J.J. Abrams is taking over the entertainment world. WB is bringing in the Bad Robot Productions into Warner Media for an estimated $500 million. You know, it's chump change, right? They're Warner Brothers. They make successful movies-ish.
Let's not go there. I don't need to be more sad than I already am.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for a director who is, at this point in time, mostly known for... Or really known for Star Wars, like that's what J.J. Abrams.
It's true. Well, he was also wasn't he known more for Star Trek for a while too?
He did. He did Star Trek Into Darkness and Star Trek 2009, I think is what the.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
And also Force Awakens, one of my favorite Star Wars films.
As a Star Trek fan, I can say those are great movies.
Yeah. Even the one he didn't do, the third film, is still really good too. Star Trek Beyond.
Yes, I did like that too, even despite the haters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is many.
Space.
I feel like there's a good. I feel like there's a good conversation that we can have about that one, those movies at some point.
Yeah.
Space,
but here's another weird thing. So he's not going to be at Disney, which is the parent company for Marvel. But JJ and his son Henry Abrams are going to be writing a Spider-Man miniseries, 5-issue miniseries at Marvel Comics with art by Sarah Pichelli, the co-creator of Miles Morales.
Yay.
So, weird?
Like, is this going to be
He's like, that fence over there? I'm going to sit on it. I'm gonna sit on a good.
So is this gonna be Peter Parker Spider-Man, not a Miles then, even though Pacelli is on the...
It looks very Peter and Mary Jane centric.
Okay, so interesting. Are we gonna get some Spider, Mary Jane, Spider-Woman there?
Not Spider-Ling, was their daughter... What's her name?
Yeah, what was her name?
Son I'm forgetting her. We're terrible fans.
Alternate spider name.
Yeah, from Renew Your Vows.
Spider-Jane.
Spider-Jane.
If we're going with like the Spider-Gwen.
Anyway.
We don't talk like that about Spider-Gwen.
I was trying to, like, transpose it. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, it's going to bother me. Spinneret.
Spinneret?
Yep, that was her name.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yay.
I was like, I have to Google. I guess I'll Google. Because we don't all have smartphones or anything.
Right? Or computers in front of us.
No.
But he hasn't written any other comics, though, has he?
No, this will be his first work.
This will be his debut.
And I think the big thing is that, like, Henry was huge on wanting to do a comic book. So his son was all about it.
Has he written any comics?
I don't think so. His son is, like, in his late, like, teens. So
interesting. Yeah. So this will be a authorial debut for the both of them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, in the comic book medium.
In the comic medium. Obviously, J.J. Abrams has done multiple writings.
Well, they don't pull a Frank Miller, where it's like, I can write really well. I didn't write really well this time, though.
This is true. I think it's a really big boon, too, to get Sarah Kelly involved in this. That's a big-name artist to put on this book. So, and an artist associated with Spider-Man. So
I haven't seen her on anything in a hot minute.
It was Fantastic Four was the last thing I could think of, and she did a couple of early issues.
What? Who said that? What?
So this should be cool. I mean, 5-issue miniseries. It's odd that it's being just called Spider-Man at this point. I would like some sort of a subtitle for it.
There probably will be. Because I assume that they haven't even started yet.
It's supposed to be out in September, issue 1.
Oh.
So.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully they're about 3 or 4 issues in, actually.
We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah. All right. The rest of the news is kind of light. We've got Boondocks returning. We're not sure if it's going back to Adult Swim, as that seems to be ostensibly the right.
So far all the news I've seen on it has been kind of light, but they just announced that Aaron Magruder, the original creator of the comic / show, is on board.
Cool.
And John Witherspoon. So I'm pretty sure it's Adult Swim, because that's the only place it's ever been. But, so those two, they're still wondering if Regina King is going to come back because she just won an Oscar.
Yeah.
But cool, it's been, I think, like 7 years since Magruder.
It's been that long?
Worked on the show because he left in 6 years because he left in 2013, I believe.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well.
Yep.
He was like, I got bored.
The political climate changed and he couldn't sit on that show anymore. So
fair enough.
Probably has a lot to say, I'm sure.
I need to check LaShawn Thomas's Instagram or Twitter account, see if he's got new art up for it, because I know he's one of the lead character designers.
That would be interesting to see. So I'm pretty sure with Magruder back they'll be able to get most of the cast, but we'll see as it slowly comes out.
Cool. Anything else we want to chat about, or we want to go into this big old discussion?
That's all I got.
We're coming up to San Diego, so everybody's like, hold everything!
Hold it all! That's true. We can do a quick San Diego Comic-Con update. MCU will be at Hall H. So the big panel at Hall H, probably the Saturday morning panel, is going to be the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we might be talking about a slate of films with official or semi-official release dates here pretty soon. So
interesting. When's San Diego come out?
It's a couple weeks from now.
That's why everybody's so quiet, because I think it's because it's only a few weeks out, and they're like, hold on, news!
I think it's
hold it!
Like, it might be the 2 weekends after Far From Home?
Mid-June.
Yeah.
But... I think this is good. I really, really need a concrete
Thursday, July 18th, so we're about a month away.
A little bit less than a month.
Yeah,
so we'll be seeing some of it, so I think we'll actually be recording then, too.
Cool.
So it'll be interesting.
Oh, man. Just give me Doctor Strange 2 with a date. That's what I need.
Not asking for much here.
I'm not asking for much. I just want all of these highly paid actors and this production company to come in and do the movie that I want. Anyway. Alright. So, Kat, you're going to lead us on a big-time E3 discussion, just some of the announced games or games that got official dates and things. Yeah. And
then
we'll chat.
We all play video games. Well, I mean, I play video games quite often because... If I didn't shoot things in the face on video games, there's some questionable things that might have happened in my life.
I play MTG Arena every morning.
So, questionable things that I might have done. So, obviously, there was a lot. There was a ton. You had Sony didn't show up because they chose not to, which is fine. I don't care. Do what you want. But there will be moments of... I will put this out here. I will shit on video game companies. And I will. And it is what it is, and it's just because I have opinions and I find things funny. I dislike Microsoft to a very high degree, so we'll start there. We'll just watch theirs for a little while. And they got a lot of cool stuff, but not a lot of their own stuff.
Interesting. So you mean like norm. Console exclusives?
Yeah, okay. So they don't usually do a whole lot of console exclusives, honestly. The only thing that I really, truly like about Microsoft is their controller. And I bought a computer.
That's hilarious.
I can literally buy all the games I want to play on my PC. And if I want to buy stuff from them, like Gears of War 5, I'm actually going to buy for my computer.
Nice.
And I can also play it on the Xbox because they have a tag called Xbox Anywhere.
Okay.
But I will probably the majority of it play it on my computer because it works better than my Xbox does. But
fair enough.
I will open this up too. They were talking about their new console that they were going to do. That thing is probably going to be spendy because they're like, yeah, we're doing solid state drives. And for those who don't know what solid state drives are, they're basically just hard drives just upgraded a shit ton and they have lesser load, like less load times.
Okay.
Those are expensive. Like a terabyte solid state, which is down further than it used to be, is like $150. And you need at least a terabyte anymore to play video games. You can't. You need at least a terabyte.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but if they figure out some sort of way to... I mean, if it's faster and more efficient, then...
It is, but you have that piece of it. There's a lot of people saying that they're all the new consoles that are coming out, because I know it's been said that Sony's also has a special deal with AMD, too, that they're saying that they're going to be $500, but they think they're going to eat the $100 just to get the console sold. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, what do? Because consoles normally come out around $400, right?
Yes, that's a norm. You hit $500, and most people tune out. Yeah, I usually don't think I've
seen past $450 for releases for either.
It's because people don't want to. It's because people don't want to pay $500. It's usually you'll get me to tune out. And like I said, with my computer, I'm like I want to play Sony exclusive titles. Is really what it is. So
interesting.
I will say there's a lot of. It looks like a lot of gaming companies are shifting towards like streaming kind of things too, which I'm not game for.
Hey,
that was terrible.
I actually really am like super into that, but that's a whole conversation for another time.
All right, so let's talk about some dope games, and then we can talk about that at a later date. But some dope games. So the first one, I'll swing over to Nat because he seems super intrigued by it. Astral Chain, which is going to release for the Nintendo Switch on August 30th, 2019.
So, this one, I watched the Nintendo, like I guess the Treehouse conference. They don't really show up at E3 anymore. What they do is just have a streaming press release, essentially.
I mean, not gonna lie, kind of smart, because then it doesn't require any of them to spend any money to go anywhere.
They just have to be there with the games for demos for people to play.
Yeah, that's it.
but Astral Chain's coming out of Platinum Games, and it stuck out amongst the different trailers that popped out because it was not a sequel or a remake or something from a franchise. It was a completely new IP, and it's about the world being overrun by creatures from another dimension. And the gameplay aspect of it was what really intrigued me, is this idea that you're playing as your main character as well as the altered dimension creatures that they've positively corrupted to be tools. So you switch between two characters that are literally linked by an astral chain, like a chain through dimensions. And they offer different upgrades. So you're doing these multiple things, and you are one of the chosen people that can see these creatures because they exist in a different dimension. They vibrate at a different frequency. So not every, like, the common people just walk right past this stuff. So they may perceive things as, like, ghosts or, like, there was a weird jitter effect that's like, yeah, something weird happened over by that dumpster. And you go over there and there's a fucking gaping entryway into another dimension that's there. Mm-hmm. So there's this really, like, cool dichotomy aspect. It also has a really awesome anime art style, reminded me a lot of Evangelion, and I say that a lot because I love Ava so much. And yeah, it was just everything about this game. I was like, this could be my push to get a Switch because it seemed like a fun action game. And there's stupid side quests where you can collect trash and be a good cop. So you can, like, literally pick up cans and put them in trash cans.
I will honestly say, like, Nintendo Switch, you're not going to get the best graphics, but you will get some pretty good games. I will honestly say that. It's worth the money, in my opinion.
Well, and there's
that's unfortunate, because that's what struck me the most with this trailer, was just how beautiful, like, the graphics were.
For Astral Chain?
Yeah,
for
Astral Chain. You have to think with those. It's tailored to them, though.
And that is something that I miss in gaming from the generation, me and the old guys, was the fact that the graphics capability was dictated by the constraints of the console. So it forced design changes. It wasn't about making everything look realistic. Mm. Since the Switch is a depowered system, you have to work your art style to fit with what you have. And I think Astral Chain is a great example of what you can do.
Yeah, so for me, honestly, I don't... Like, when you're going, that's why, so when you go, like, bigger platform games, you're not going to be able to compete with the PlayStation 4. You're not going to be able to compete with it, not with the size that it is, and it's just not built to be that. And I'm fine, me personally, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
You're giving me something fun to do on a handheld console I can take anywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Your graphics...
That's the other thing, too, is it's also a handheld, which I always forget about.
When you put it on the TV, it'll buff up the graphics a little bit, because it runs a little bit better, because you give it a power source, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that, honestly, if you don't have a Switch, I would say it's worth getting one. They're pretty fun. I love my Switch. So we'll stick within the realm of all the games that we'll be releasing this year, and so we're going to hit Nat once again for Link's Awakening.
Woohoo!
Which, that game looks adorable, and then I have also been told that the looks are deceiving because it'll make you pissed.
Yeah, that's a Link's Awakening is one of the Zelda games that I own that I have never beaten on the classic Game Boy, technically not the Game Boy Color version.
That's even better.
It is so hard. It is definitely Zelda without training wheels, not to the extent that the original Legend of Zelda was, but seeing this art style just makes me so happy. It looked like little toys running around, like little models of things. But I watched a video today about Link's Awakening. So Link's Awakening is the first time that technically you could use a bomb arrow, because you button mapped everything. There was no sword button, like, that wasn't saved to the original game. You had A and B, so A and B were always interchangeable, so you could put your bow on one and bombs on the other, and if you press them at the same time, you would shoot a bomb arrow. So there's that. You could also steal items from the stores, and if you stole an item and went back into the store after stealing it, they called you a thief and permanently changed your save name to Thief. So whenever you had conversations with people, it would say Thief says, and that's, you know, that. In this one, at least for the demo purposes, if you steal and go back into the store, the shop owner says, I warned you about stealing, and goes full on spirit bomb, raises his hands into the air, and then lightning bolts you to death. I was like,
well, yeah, I was like, I'm kind of hoping you turn into an ash pile.
Right? Well, it's Nintendo, that might be a little extreme. But I was really excited about this. I don't normally like remakes this way, but at least they're doing something really crazy, and they have the dungeon builder that you can grab, you know, stuff from.
Yeah, this one also looked really cool. I really enjoyed it. I thought it looked like the most beautiful 8-bit video game I've ever seen.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's like all totally run, like, just up, down, left, right.
Mm-hmm.
But such great graphics.
See, and I, no, thank you. I don't want to toss my Switch into my TV.
No, I think it'll probably, because of the upgrades of the controller itself. Mm-hmm. I think Sword is getting a permanent map, and I know for a fact the Shield is getting permanently mapped. So there's going to be gameplay innovations that allow the game to be played more smooth.
Okay.
It looks super cute. The trading sequences in this one, the fishing is amazing, because there's side-scrolling elements in Link's Awakening, uh-huh. where you'll, like, go into a dungeon, all of a sudden you're playing Super Mario Brothers. But you're Link. and you have an item called Rock's Feather, where you literally can jump. So you're doing platforming sequences in a side-scrolling perspective, as well as going the top-down. It's really cool. Great game.
Alright, so then we'll hit two real quick that I desperately enjoy, one of which is Borderlands, and we're getting Borderlands 3, and that game just looks freaking great, and Nat just pointed out to me 2K took a shot at Bethesda, and it makes that trailer even funnier, because at one point I think in the trailer, like, Claptrap is chasing a gun, and it runs up the stairs, and yeah! The joke is he can't. His greatest enemy is stairs.
Yeah, that's from amazing, the second game. Because he just has a wheel.
My greatest enemy, stairs! I love that game. And that game comes out, I believe, September 13th?
It's pretty soon.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Borderlands 2 is, like, one of my favorite games ever.
Oh, it's so good. And I love that game so much.
Yeah. I'm really excited about all the new classes they have.
I've been replaying them all. It's so good.
Borderlands is the classic video game that makes me sad because it's so gorgeous and so fun and makes me so sick when I play it.
Dude, Handsome Jack is one of my favorite game antagonists of all time. He's a butt stallion.
Like in what way?
Motion sickness.
Motion sickness.
I can't play them.
No.
I'm pretty bad with first-person shooters in general, and that one in particular, for some reason, I get sick.
I can see why
I like the candy coating.
Yeah, and I love that style. Like, that's totally me.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. That's so sad because that's like one of the reasons that game is so amazing, right? Is because of its je ne sais quoi.
Right. And then we'll hit another quick one real quick that I know not many people are excited about, but I am like a huge, like, usually you can put this title on a game and I'm like, where can I buy it? Because I bought the one we do not speak about, which is, so Gears of War 5 comes out September, what was it? I think that one is September 5th.
A week before.
Yeah. I'm like, thanks. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's right. It's a weird day. So if
Cat's
you do...
gonna have a very hungry week.
Has anybody seen Cat? Yeah. So it comes out September 5th, which is a Thursday, which is really weird because most release dates stick to Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then Nintendo's been doing Fridays pretty religiously, but Borderlands is doing a Friday too. But if you buy the Ultimate Edition, you get to play the game 4 days early. Now, fun fact, the 4 days early is on a Sunday, and I work Sundays. I'm like, this is rude.
Can you play it on Monday if you do the Ultimate Edition?
You can play it 4 days early, so you play it Sunday. Basically, what will probably happen is I will play it on breaks at work, because I'm going to play it from my computer, and then play it when I get home. Maybe sleep. So
I'm sick, boss. Yeah, yeah. I need to go home.
I don't feel good.
I hope your bosses don't listen to our podcast.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I was kind of curious about why Microsoft, I'm assuming, knew about the Borderlands release, so choosing September 5th is a very odd thing to do to me. So, but whatever, their choice.
I think the biggest thing I can say about Gears of War from my perspective is I love the design sense, but I've never had a Microsoft console, really, so.
No, and I totally get that. It's one of those things, like, if you, like, for me, probably the only reason I'm still playing these games, because I play Judgment. It's a bad game. It's such a bad game. The story sucks. Everything sucks in that game. If you haven't really played them, they're probably living off of Legacy, if I'm being honest.
Gotcha.
The fourth one was interesting. I enjoyed it, because now, instead of being with Marcus Fenix, you're with his son. So, I think it's interesting.
Cool.
And so, like, the new enemies are creepy as shit, so.
Nice.
Alright, so we got those two out of the way. We'll hit, which, those are 2019, so the next 2019 one that I believe is in line is going to be Jedi Fallen Order. And our release date for that will be November 15th, 2019, because I don't need money this holiday season.
I am heavily intrigued by this, because this is the first story-driven canonical Star Wars game in the Disney era.
Yep.
So this is actually going to be in canon.
Yep.
And it's the idea that there is another Padawan who escaped Order 66, and he is on a quest to find something, whether this is a person, a temple, a holocron, something that is supposed to be able to save the Jedi Order. Now, there was a list of Jedi that survived, or potential survivors of Order 66, that was presented in the Vader comic book, and your primary villain, the Second Sister, was also in the Vader comic book. She was introduced there in the new Vader series. So there's some level of ties to that. I have this weird feeling that the end of the game is either going to be losing a duel to Darth Vader or having Vader corrupt you into one of the Inquisitors.
That would
and
be dope.
You become one of the third brother or fourth brother or whatever. It may be. I really like the new stormtroopers too that are added to this. The plague troopers. They have black. They're like full black armors, and they have the staffs.
Those staffs might be from the. What was that game? There was a Jedi. There was another Jedi game where you were Darth Vader's apprentice.
Oh, Force Unleashed.
I believe that's from that game.
And I think it all goes down to the Revenge of the Sith, the droids that carried them.
Yeah.
But the idea is that these are the troopers that are sent in so that. They're the first line of defense before the Inquisitors come in to wipe out a Jedi.
Yep.
So, that's fucking dope.
EA always scares me because they're EA, and that's a fair statement.
Yeah. It's true. They're, like, super hit or miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been miss for quite some time, especially with Star Wars.
The game director, though, was he worked on all of the God of War franchise, and he was actually the director of 3 and then the Chains of Olympus ones.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Barlow?
I don't know his name, but Chains of Olympus. I'm trying to remember if that was a good God of War game. There was like a
God of War 3 is great.
I know God of War 3 is great, but I know some of the, like, I can't, there's the two PSP ones, and I know one of those was lacking pretty hard, and I can't remember which one it is.
This one was the one, I think, Chains of Olympus was the handheld game. It was like the Vista game that then got upgraded at some point.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Anyways, but it... I'm interested. I always like more stories, so we'll see how it goes.
And the little droid backpack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Super adorable. That was super made me think awesome. Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
I'm glad somebody else got that.
Yes, I was watching him, like, man, I hope you can, like, do stuff with him.
Oh, yeah, he's...
Oh, yeah. Didn't he do, like
he hacked and stuff things? With him.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, it made me think Ratchet and Clank meets Uncharted, which are some of my favorite Sony games.
Yes.
So.
It just had, like, a air of, like, joy to it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't put my finger on it. It just looked fun. Like, there's so many Star Wars games that are just... I don't know, I feel like they try to get too, like, dramatic in Star Wars.
But this was fun.
Yeah.
I also liked the force power that allows you to slow time down.
Oh, yeah.
So he picks up the stormtrooper while the time is slowed and puts him in front of the blast another stormtrooper fires and then walks away. So it's the stormtroopers shoot themselves. I was like, that's
freaking
awesome.
I mean, it's the first thing they've ever hit, so there's that.
I think that we can move on now. Mic drop.
All right, let's go with, now we're going to hit up an Ubisoft game, which I really do love Ubisoft, but I wasn't very impressed this year with what they had. The only game that really registered on my radar was Watch Dogs Legion. That game looks awesome. Take my money.
Yes.
With a release date of March 6, 2020.
That was the definition of I am overwhelmed.
I know, right? It's like, dystopian future and literally...
Pick your own character.
Yeah. When they started, I was like, okay, pick your own character. We've seen this one before. And then it just starts, like,
montaging
through, like, 15 different people. It's like, that person, a baby. Why not?
The old lady super spy that you take that was, like, falling asleep in the park.
old lady. She's like, you know, looks like the queen.
Yeah.
The combat also looked really slick. Like,
oh, yeah.
It looked like everything worked really well.
Well, for me, these are, like, the kind of games that I definitely enjoy where it's like, all right, I'm going to drop you here. Find your own team. Have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
This, I think, visually was more interesting than a game we're going to talk about soon that is really hotly anticipated. It also is a futuristic game. I think that the third person choice is really smart if you're going to have all of these characters be playable, because you get to see the character you're playing as.
Mm-hmm. I personally enjoy third person more than first person normally.
I do as well. Mostly because I can play it. From a design perspective, too. I also like seeing
that. I like seeing the character that I'm playing, too, a lot of the time. So I can understand.
I'm a big sucker for, like, side quests. Especially in that stuff, and I feel like with each character you meet, there's probably going to be some sort of side quest to, like, get them on your team or whatever, which I'm excited for just unlimited side quests.
Well, the thing is what they were saying, too, is this, like, the this is a fully voiced, full cast of people, and I'm like, that has taken a long time. Good for you. I'm excited.
That's crazy, actually.
So, and they said, from what he said, is you, like, when you're picking your team, and the other part of it is one of your characters dies, they did. Like, there's no restart button. They did.
Oh,
yeah, so, like, at the kind of the trailer that they were showing, the first character you are, he actually dies, and then you go to another character, which is, like, this old lady hacker, which is hilarious.
That was so funny.
And at that point, you have to find, you're trying to find the guy he was tracking down. So, to be a part of their crew. So it's really, it sounds, I was kind of, when I was watching, like, the beginning parts of it, I'm like, okay, what is new about this? What are you doing? And they're like, fully voiced, fully cast, you have me. Pick your character, pick your team.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can be a cop, you can be, it's insane. Yeah. You can be anybody in England. So that they leave you.
It's, I wonder if I can be my cousin.
Yes. Is it in London? Is what the?
Yes, it is in London.
That's a unique setting too, like for video games to actually set it outside of a generic U.S. city. You know,
Far Cry 5 was the most America thing I've ever played. So I don't know about that. I can see that with a lot of things, but not that game.
Well, I feel like a lot of things in general, like, if you put more of an emphasis on setting, like, you get a lot more out of it. It feels more immersive, like, in most mediums.
Well, what's the joke is Gotham City is its own character, you know? Like, that's always what's said, so it's important. Where something takes place is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, totally. Then we're going to hit one real fast, and it won't be a whole lot, but I have to talk about it because, yes. Was it last year? I think it was last year when they first announced it. It was basically called Dragon Ball Z RPG Project. Now it finally has a name, and it's called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, and it's supposed to be released early 2020. I'm so stoked.
Kakarot.
It's going to be basically an RPG where you walk around as Goku, and I'm like, here, take my money.
Fly around as Goku.
You get the Nimbus Cloud for some of the stuff that we saw. I've seen different screenshots. You get to fight, like, actual creatures out there. I'm excited.
I have one negative to say of what I saw, is that it seems to start with Vegeta Saga, and I would be so much happier if it was Little Goku first.
So you have to think a lot of the times, too, that was the series that made everything popular for them, though. Like, Dragon Ball was there, and then Dragon Ball Z just, like, launched them when it came to the U.S., because that was actually the first one I ever watched.
Truth.
I saw Dragon Ball when I was little.
I started with Dragon Ball myself, actually.
But it's... I'm excited for it. Cool. Alright. And now we'll hit Cyberpunk 2077. By the way, that meme with... I don't know if you guys didn't probably watch the whole press conference, but Keanu Reeves at one point is out on stage at Microsoft as he's talking to everybody, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but some dude in the audience yells, "You're beautiful!" Or what was... It wasn't "You're beautiful." I can't remember what it is. Huh?
You're
breathtaking, and he starts laughing. He's like, "No, you're breathtaking."
Yeah,
I love that dude.
Keanu's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's pretty funny.
He was more interesting to me than Cyberpunk 2077 was.
See, and I know a lot of people who are super excited for that game, but for me, it'll be kind of one of those things where I take a step back and watch and see if it's going to be something that I want to play. Yeah. I know somebody I have to buy it for, so but.
I think there's a bold choice made calling it cyberpunk, because that's an entire genre of storytelling, so you're basically claiming the whole genre as your own. And the most quintessentially cyberpunk is Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the inventor of the genre. There's a lot that I really like about this. I don't like the first person, but I've made that complaint several times already. But there's way too much cursing in the writing.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching the long form thing, and it's just like...
It reminds me of a rated R movie.
Well, like a bad rated R movie, yeah. You know, like where they don't know how to make it rated R, but they want to be edgy and adults. Fuck this and fuck that. And shit, man. Ah, what the hell's going on with this shit? Oh, fuck. You know, like, there's no writing there. You're not actually talking about the story. You just have people swear words. Swear words.
Sentence enhancers.
Yeah, it's just, you can be adult, and you can throw in, obviously, people say curses. I drop F-bombs a lot, but it's so, like, it's the R-rated movie written by a 14-year-old. You know, like, that's
pretty good.
What I felt when I was watching that.
That's funny. I actually didn't watch it. This is the one trailer I didn't get to for some reason. I don't know why.
I mean, like I said, it's going to be one of those things that I'll probably watch somebody else play it for a while before I decide whether or not I'm going to play it, because for me, I think I heard people saying that, you know, you can edit your character and stuff, and I'm like, then why can't I see it?
Yeah, see, that's another... It's like you can literally get cybernetic enhancements for your character that change gameplay and change the visual look of your character, but we don't see our characters. You have to go to you go to your mapping window to see, you know, where you've put stuff, and you get a really cool CG model, but, like...
That's one of the great things about cyberpunk is, like, all the crazy, ridiculous fashion styles.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, stuff like that.
Well, although the first-person perspective inside of the cars and, like, the sort of Back to the Future meets Blade Runner meets Minority Report smash-up that they have for, the HUD inside the vehicles is pretty sick. Like, I was really impressed by that. I also was impressed by the weapon upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that you can mod your weapons your way so you can suit your own play styles. So there was one of the mods, the high-level mods they showed was Smart Bullets. So you literally tag once, go behind your corner, and just shoot outward, and it's just going to keep shooting the target that you targeted. There's also Ricochet as a enhancement.
Damn.
So you can change your visual field of view, and it'll show you a ricochet path, so you can literally shoot people in the back of the head.
Oh, that's totally me.
So, I was just like, how do I make that work? I need to make that work.
I always play snipers in like games like that, so that's like perfect. If I don't get it in one shot, then I've failed.
There's also an element that they showed in the long form demo that was quick hacks, where since everything is so integrated into the cybernetic world, that you can set up a quick hack where the guns stop recognizing who's holding it, so they won't fire. So you basically shut off your opponent's or the enemy's ability to shoot you because you've gone close enough that you literally just shut off that connection. And I'm like, that's really interesting.
Just run out. Well, I can. You brought a knife to a gunfight. Well, you didn't even bring a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
So active and passive kind of stuff. I love that. The option between the two.
And it looks like you can make either a female or male, but it's story driven lead character. So
okay. Nice.
About a gender neutral?
Didn't see that. Options. Change your name.
Video games.
I'm always a sucker for anything that's story driven all the time. Like, I literally read a Resident Evil book because I wanted to know the damn story of the first game.
That's awesome.
You're sitting across the table from a guy that read the Halo cycle.
Actually, the Halo books I heard. Books. I heard those are pretty good though.
That's a discussion for another time as well.
343. All right, moving on. and we'll get to our last one, and it's mostly just because of where it lands and the release dates that were given. For Cyberpunk 2077, it's April 16th, 2020.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know it was that soon.
Mm-hmm. So Marvel's Avengers video game is our last one by Square Enix, which will be out May 15th, 2020. This is where the arguments might ensue.
No arguments here, just thoughts.
Yes.
Just thoughts.
Do you have any thoughts, Matt?
At the meme that went around from...
Oh, yeah.
...was my thoughts. You idiots! You captured their stunt doubles! I thought that the trailer itself, content-wise, if I closed my eyes... and listened to the story and heard the explosions and heard what I assume is Kamala Khan's voice, I loved it. And then I opened my eyes and I saw the stunt doubles for the Avengers films and went, why does this not look like a comic book? and why did you design based on the MCU when you have no actual physical limitations to your character designs? You're not having to put people in suits. You don't have sexy Chris Hemsworth that you don't put in a helmet because it's sexy Chris Hemsworth. So Thor should be in a fucking helmet. Especially when then later they revealed the actual costume designs in cases, and there's a helmet for Thor. So why isn't he wearing a helmet in the game? From a visual design standpoint, this missed every box. Every box.
Which sucks because it's Square Enix, and I'm like, you know how to do things.
I think of Nomura designs for, like, not that we really Kingdom Hearts.
Not that we really mention it, but Final Fantasy VII looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Final Fantasy looks amazing.
It looks amazing. And I'm like, oh, I get what he's saying now. Yeah. Damn it, Nat, you ruined it.
And why does Captain America look like Cap before getting the Super Soldier Serum wearing a football uniform? Like, I don't the giant shoulder pads and his tiny little head. Sorry, I'm sure the game's going to be fun, but boy, did they fuck up the designs.
I honestly, for me, I kind of watched them talk about it a little bit, and I think they're going to do, like, I guess the best way I can explain it is, I think, and this is a huge, I think, is going to be like Lord of the Rings status, where you pick a character and I think you level them up, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And for me...
Patrick, you seem to have a different perspective of this than the two of us.
I thought it looked dope as hell, yeah. Honestly. Like, that's the main criticism I've seen, is just character design, mm-hmm. Honestly. I've not seen or heard anybody talking about the gameplay looks bad, the other art style, like, the background and other characters look bad or anything like that. You know, my whole thing about that was I'm not the biggest fan. It took me by surprise, and I realize it's just because I'm so used to the MCU versions of this, and, you know, comic books in general, when you get, you know, change them up, get new artists, they have characters look different, stuff like that, so.
And I'm for that. The problem is, they didn't make it look different. They went for a design that played too safe to the MCU. You have no restrictions. I don't want it to look like the MCU. I'm not hearing Robert Downey Jr.'s voice. I don't want it to look like RDJ. Make it a different looking Iron Man.
Okay.
And I think Thor looks more Roman than he does Norse. He's got the clip over his shoulder with the red cape wrapped around his neck. And the fact that he's not in the helmet makes no sense.
He does look like he's wearing subwoofers on his chest.
He's bringing the bass. You know, that's what they didn't tell you, is that in the gameplay, the reason that there's music is because Thor's around and he's constantly playing stuff from his costume. So that's the other, the electricity that he pulls down allows him to power the suit for the subwoofers to play music.
It also sounds like they're going to do an online ability too, where you do kind of stuff with your friends. Kat is not an actual fan of many online games ever. Mostly because I would prefer to play story driven games, and I always do.
Pat is right there with you.
Yeah. So they're gonna do an online feature for it, and I'm like,
Was it like online battle mode, or like where you're...
I think you're gonna do missions with your friends kind of deal.
But that's kind of cool.
Yeah, because from what I got from it, like you were saying, is that you would ostensibly play one of the core five Avengers.
Some dude in the actual...
If you had, you know, the two of you as two different Avengers, that's cool.
Yeah. Like the actual, in the press conference when they were talking about this at Square Enix, when they did theirs, it was really funny. They had the five, and some dude in the audience literally yelled, "Where's Hawkeye?" Like, put in Hawkeye!
And again, I'm giving a lot of criticism for this, because obviously we want a really cool Avengers game, and I think what Sony did with Spider-Man... I need something to replace Spider-Man. Batman.
I need it.
I think what Sony did with Spider-Man is pretty incredible, and what the Batman games have been great. Why did you choose that team if you didn't want comparisons to the MCU?
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, why not pull from any of the other Avengers teams?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're going to do DLC too, so...
Well, I mean, the story seemed to be driven around the idea of, the Terrigen Bomb was what supposedly exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And the voiceover seems to be hinting at Kamala, like it was Miss Marvel talking about your heroes and... If we're dealing Terrigen Bomb, Terrigen Mist, those, are we going to get her as a playable character? Because that would have been a great reveal we don't have a frame of reference. We just have the comic book.
Well, we have to think this game is still, like, when they were doing everything, it's still about a year away. Yeah. So I think they'll probably drop more and more hints as things come along. But
I feel like we weren't ready to see a trailer.
Probably. Well, the thing is they're saying this is. The big thing was is everybody's like, we're going to fine-tune it, we're going to make it better, this is just the alpha. So yeah. I'm like, they're saying, they said they're not going to do the redesigns on the characters, but I think with the sheer amount of bitching that they've probably been getting, there's going to be, something's going to change. These are just the first set. I'm like, something's going to change. This is the first set, something's going to change. We're not changing it, though.
They might just introduce a lot more playable characters.
I think they're going to.
And so it's, you like, you don't like Iron Man's, like, playability is fine, then be Karnak or something.
Would be really cool is like if this is like a good trailer, like this is the first 15 minutes of the game or whatever, like first hour of the game that we're seeing, and when they all get back together to fight whatever this enemy is, it's actually a team of like 20 people that you can choose from, you know, like that's
like I said, this is like they gave information, but they didn't give as much information as I need. And I think it'll be one of the, it's going to be another thing where I'll probably watch gameplay stuff that they release for it just to see what they're up to, because I do. I need something to replace Batman, man. I've got like a hankering.
Well, there's a lot of.
Not anything that's going to replace it, but.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways that this can play out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's. I feel like maybe a smaller teaser would have helped to buffer this, but doing like a full 2-minute teaser that had not content that was probably not ready to be shown.
Probably not.
I need to go back and rewatch it actually with those like design questions because once he said
something to me about it, I was like, damn, he's right.
Well, I have a big issue with Captain America as well, because the reason that we didn't put the scales on him in cinema for such a long time, like the scale mail, is because you're not sure an audience is going to be able to take that. You know, like you're already putting the guy in the freaking American flag on screen. But this is a video game. Put him in the fucking scales. Like that is part of the identity of the character. You have zero restrictions. Put him in the scale mail.
I love them. I like 90s Captain America.
It was weird. It was a weird choice.
Yeah. Not going to lie. Because before I watched it, I had just seen people shitting on it the whole time. So I was, like, trying to force, like, watch it and be like, this is actually pretty good. So, yeah. I liked it.
I'm interested in the story.
Yeah.
I'm just more curious about the gameplay, because they're like, here's your story.
If I can go, like, a cartoon animated, like, reskins from the beginning, like, just buy DLC that gives them their comic book costumes, then I'll play it.
That's funny.
I'd be super game for that. I will say, on, like, one final note, Final Fantasy VII, never played it. That game looks gorgeous, and I want to play it.
Yeah.
Because, good for you, Square Enix, you win on that one.
Square Enix.
But cool.
Nice.
On that, we'll end on this on a higher note for Square Enix.
Nice.
That's pretty much what we wanted to cover.
Yeah, nice. All right. A lot of stuff happened at E3 to be excited for.
Yep.
For sure.
Way to spend your money. Here you go.
Exactly.
You're welcome. You can suffer with me.
Well, I guess with that, we can sign off then.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, bye.
Bye.
Go watch Evangelion on Netflix.
What?